Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We're going to be talking about your soul and how you can reconnect. This is a little different than what we talked about a few weeks ago, although it's sort of along the lines of a new paradigms for a new world. Your world, bringing you closer to those dreams, desires, hopes, and aspirations. And we will be talking with Soul Support System. Stay with us.
Talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
Yes, indeed. Understanding is what we need in this world today, and it will certainly bring us all a little bit closer together. We're going to be talking with Flo Magdalena, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different things today on the program. Flo, welcome to our program. It's really great to have you, and I know that it hasn't been an easy journey for you the last 24 hours. You've been dealing with weather just as we're about to deal with here out on the West Coast.
Absolutely. Thank you, Richard. Nice to be with you, too.
The soul is probably, I don't want to say that it's the most misunderstood. I think that it's the one element or part of who and what we truly are that is just not understood at all by a lot of folks. Can you help us to maybe better understand that? What is the soul, and how are you going to, and how do you, I should say, how do you help people to either reconnect with their soul from the conscious mind, or to reconnect with that higher power that we're all wanting to reconnect with?
Well, I've always searched for the part of me that could help me understand why I was here and what I was here to do and how I might accomplish that. And so I started out in science with being a nurse and looking into psychiatry and psychology and so forth, and I finally stumbled into what is called, you know, parapsychology or metaphysics, and began to find there some answers that religion and science hadn't been able to give me specifically. Now, we're talking 30 years ago, so the new science does help us understand things. But 30 years ago, there was a question that I had about where do I come from and why are things so hard here? And how can we start to understand and explain the misunderstandings we have with each other, the challenges, and so forth? So when I began to put together the medicine and the metaphysics, I started to work in the holistic health field and began to understand that in some ways, if we began to look at ourselves as a body, mind, spirit, and emotion, and then we put this the soul in there with spirit, that we started to have an overview, perhaps a way of looking at who we are from a vantage point that allows us to see outside of our conditioning and outside of that which seems to habitually drive us. So I began a journey to investigate my spiritual aspects and consciousness, but also I began to read people. I took training, actually, if you could think about it, graduated parapsychological training from a nursing standpoint, and I began to learn how to use my intuition, how to use my mental telepathy, and so forth. And so I began to realize that inside of us there is a point of our spiritual acknowledgement that is called the soul, and there's really no training in our society about how to incorporate that part of ourselves into our daily life, for example, or how to understand that part of us and what it contains, the blueprint or the potential pattern that is uniquely ours that's inside that soul seed or that soul space. So for 30 years, I've been developing ways to access that. And I've been looking into how we can actually feel that soul connection on a moment-to-moment basis.
Well, now, one of the questions that I try to ask of each of my guests when they've given us a brief description of where they've come from up to this point, and you've talked about this process, the question that I like to come back to is, why? Why 30 years ago did you decide to go in this direction? What was the catalyst? What was the single event, or what were the series of events that propelled you into this particular direction? And as I ask you that question, I have to start asking myself the same question about me and when I was 16 or 17.
Well, I was, you know, I was walking around. I worked in psychiatry, and I remember, and I was probably in my mid-20s at that point, early 30s, and I'm walking around, and my neck is as stiff as, like a baseball, you know? It's like, it's just so very, very stuck in that space, and I realize I have what I psychiatrically would call free-floating anxiety. Nothing's wrong, but I'm not relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to look at, so what is happening that in that underlying way pushes me and others to not understand who we are? And so it wasn't really one event. It was more that I began to look at people, you know, dying and having challenges and just asking that larger eclectic kind of question of why. And then I started to study different aspects of consciousness, actually, because I wanted to know why, and nobody had the answer. You know, my conditioning as a Presbyterian churchgoer from the time I was born, I sang in the choir, and I watched people in church, and they really weren't kind to each other, behind each other's back, and I'm thinking, why? You know, is this why we go to church, so that we can at least be good today, and then maybe not tomorrow, and none of it made sense to me. So as I looked at that process, I also, of course, went into the holistic health part of it. And I remember I worked with a lady, and she was on my table, and I really knew that when I got finished with the session that she was healed. But then I saw her get up and put the disease back on, and I thought, you know, so there must be more than the body proper to this process. There must mm-hmm. be something else going on. So then I went into the belief system, worked with that. Then I went into emotional release in the 80s, the deep kind of primal emotional release. And then I began to realize that the soul seed, the part that has that design in it for each person, really brings all those levels together. And the psyche acquiesces to the soul seed because it's the original blueprint of the person. So I guess to answer your question, I'm a seeker,
mm-hmm.
and I could not find what I wanted in a conventional world, and I had to just go outside of that. And sometimes I was very glad when I wrote my first book because then my father could call me an author, you know, instead of a metaphysician. because I was, you know, when you go out on a limb, it's quite challenging to then talk to people who don't have the experience that you have with that part of their consciousness and don't believe it even exists. And so I have that kind of process where when I talk to people, I try to first listen to where they are so I can couch what I have to say in a way that they can relate to. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of discrepancy, you know, when we talk about non-traditional work and what people think that means and how that works for them. And so I always talk more about what they're here to do, and that seems to be a good icebreaker, you know.
Well, I know that as I've been doing my search, I just tell people that I'm on a search, and I worked for 15 years in religious broadcasting and said that to someone there, and they said, well, but once you found Jesus, your search is over. And my thought was, oh, actually, once I found Jesus, I'm still searching, because it's not a question of not believing, it's a question of still having those questions. And that nobody seems to be able to answer the questions with the answer that, and it's not a question of that satisfies, it's a question of that rings true within me.
Exactly.
You know,
and
go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's a very important point, because when we work with the soul, you know, I created this nonprofit organization in 1994 called Soul Support Systems, and we have programs and we really teach skills and tools to get in touch with your soul. But what we teach is that everyone has their own truth. And when you go into that soul seed and find your truth, then that frees you to move away from the, let's just say, black and white duality of the way the world is viewed in Western culture, and allows us to move into that place of our own knowing. And then it's easier to get along with other people. We can acknowledge that they have a knowing and we have one, and it moves us out of competition and out of that, you know, sense of separation that we have with each other from the old model.
Yeah, and that's really what's happening is we're starting to see that the old models just flat out aren't working. They haven't worked for a long time, but we continue to use them, and a lot of people are using the terminology of reform, and it's like, well, wait a minute. If it's broken and you try to reform it, it's still broken. It's just in a different form. You literally need to get rid of that, and you need to come and create something brand new, in essence, out of nothing, because the old stuff isn't working. The old forms, they're not serving us anymore. And in a sense, that's really what we're looking for. Or maybe the other way around is we're not serving them. And again, that's not to say that the forms are right. It's just that they're not working, and we need to find another way. If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Flo Magdalena, and we're talking about the soul. We're talking about the seed of light. We're going to get further into that, as well as the blueprints and potentials. And there's an area that I really want to get into, but I also want to let our listeners know you have a website. It is soulsupportsystems.org. That's soulsupportsystems.org. You can also get there through my website, richarddugan.com. Go to the schedules page. You can also go to the shows page when this program is over, and you'll be able to download or listen to this interview again if you'd like, or share it with others. We'd love to have you do that. Potential is it's huge, because I think in terms of the people that are alive today versus those who aren't, who are alive tomorrow. And the numbers are, I don't know, maybe they're less, maybe they're about balanced, but there are those who aren't here tomorrow, for sometimes reasons that, gee, you know, they didn't have to transition. They didn't have to die, if you will. There was no reason for their lives to have been taken. And I speak more in terms of in the midst of conflict, or because of anger or jealousy, or a lot of these other baser emotions that drive other people to take the lives, as the phrase goes, of another person. And I think, well, what lost potential? That person could have gone on to become. You hear about some of these stories of people, that, especially young people, oh, they were so friendly and kind, and they were musicians, and they did that, and they did this, and they did the other, and they could have gone on to do great things and transform the world. And sometimes I think of that in the context of how much we've lost. But then you have more people that are born into this world at the same time, and there's that potential that's springing up. Let's talk a little bit about that potential, if we can, and that blueprint. How can I describe for us how that is, shall we say, I suppose, written into the blueprint?
Well, I'd like to just talk a little bit about what you were talking about before, which is this movement out of old models into new systems.
Sure, okay.
And that is an evolutionary process that I think involves our expanded consciousness. We're at a place as humanity where we need to go to another level. Just like Einstein said, you know, we cannot solve these problems from the level that they're born. And so in the direct way that we work with the soul, it opens us to the potential of that person and their contribution and the synchronicity, or the balance of where they are, what they're doing, what they want to be doing, how they're living, what is needed in the society. And I think it's all related. And I think that each person, in my experience, each person has a contribution and a gift to make that is seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D and S-E-A-T-E-D, seated inside them, and that's where their yearning is coming from. And so if they really want to accomplish something, or if they really want to find out what it is that they've come to accomplish, I believe it's that impulse, that etheric point of the seed of light inside of them that's actually compelling them, or catalyzing them toward that expression. And that as we all have that movement, that we begin to come together in a relationship where we begin to co-create. You talked a little bit about that before.
Yeah.
And that model of co-creation, where we have from the family system to the social systems, and the changes that are possible, is extremely exciting.
Indeed, it is.
Yeah, and it feels like that's really where we can catalyze and harness that potential. Because we've really, if we think about it, at least in my education, and correct me if you know of any other time in our story as human beings, that we have had the capacity capacity to co-create on such an amazing level. We know what's happening in the world. We can connect with people all over the world. And we have this movement now, and I think it's from our deep psyche, our deep consciousness, that we can make a better world. And so that each of us has a piece of that, and that's, you know, in the larger sense called the hologram. Each part of us is wanting to express, and it's a place where if we put our piece in and the person next to us puts theirs in, all of a sudden we can see what the design is, like solving a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I work with particularly is assisting individuals to find that potential, and then when they start to catalyze it, it's like Mexican jumping beans, you know? As soon as it starts, then the people next to them start to stimulate their potential, and we begin to map that out, and we can see where it's going.
Yeah, and, you know, it raised a thought as you were sharing there. I had a dear friend, and his name was Charlie, and I grew up with him in grade school and I think a couple of years in high school, and we sat and chatted. It was really surprising that we had this deep philosophical conversation as kids, but we did. And he made the comment to me as we were talking about what he knew what his role in life was. He knew what he was going to be doing, but he wasn't sure he was going to be able to do it. Which got me to wondering if my role in life was going to be kind of minor, that my little part would be very localized. I wouldn't be very well known. I wouldn't be heard of much. And this was even before I got into radio. And then I thought, well, is my role going to be that, or am I going to be known nationally or internationally? Will I be known around the world and make a difference in some way? And again, I hadn't even begun my search at that particular point, but it was like those musings for both of us came about. I thought it was fascinating that he actually made the comment that he knew what his role was and what he was going to do and didn't know if he would be able to do it. Which begged a lot of questions that I never did have a chance to ask him. But I'm wondering if you talked about these kinds of questions, the why. It's like the child is always asking why. Well, because we do it this way. Well, but why? Well, because we do it that way. Well, why? Because it goes over here. Well, and it just goes on and on and on. So it's like that little child inside of us. And it kind of lends us to the nice segue of little children, and that is having to do with the unborn and the newly born. I'm in the process of putting together interviews regarding the indigo children. I know a little bit about them, not a lot, but share with us a little bit about this connection and the born as well as the unborn, the newborn and as well as the unborn.
Well, when I work with potential, I learn from people that I work with and have worked with for, you know, the last 30 years, I've learned that inside of us there is a directional signal. And the challenge is that we're not taught to read that directional signal. Your friend was reading his probably better than most people can, or they know they want to go into a certain profession from the time they're young, but they may not know the coordinates of that or how that's going to work. And so I got to studying and thinking about the potential of the unborn child and our ability to stimulate the signal in that child and in our awareness of that signal or learning about that so that we could allow for our own consciousness to open to nonverbal communication and connection with the soul of the unborn child so that we would make a strong bond, so we could hear their voice, just like in African tribes when the shaman goes out at night and calls in the spirit of the child and then communicates that to the mother and to the rest of the tribe. And the child has a song, and the song is sung, and the song is sung when the child is married and the child is in trouble, to bring it back into alignment. And it's sung when the child, as an adult, or whenever the child dies. And there's this sense of communal understanding of the individual unique voice of that soul. And so I got to thinking about how we might make an exercise available to connect and bond the mom and the child, and then to actually birth the child in light. I got some of this information from a connection that I have with Mary Magdalene in terms of the birthing rituals from my book of I Remember Union. And I've put that particular ritual series in this new book that I'm writing called Honoring Your Child's Spirit, Prenatal Connection and Communication. And that whole kind of theme of seeing your child as light, recognizing their voice, connecting and bonding with them so they know who you are as a mother, and then moving that into the other family members, and beginning to create a family system that's based upon the bonded connecting link that's nonverbal about belonging together and about co-creating the reality of the family, and understanding that we all have an energy field and the family has an energy field and the universe has an energy field, and teaching the child in utero that that field is where they belong, and right now they're in the mom's field, but then when they're born they're going to have their field and the mom's going to have her field, but those fields are always connected, you know, and to have little diagrams where we can actually communicate to the child so that the feeling of being alone or isolated or not belonging is taken care of to as large a degree as we can work with it prior to the birth, and then is supported in particularly the first 2 years of life on the planet when the fontanelles are open and the consciousness is moving through the child in a much more deeply nonverbal way. So that's kind of a synopsis of
yeah.
the question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know that, and I really took it to heart when my mother told me this the first time. Then I was given the truth of this statement, as far as our family is concerned. It really didn't bother me that much when I did learn the truth. But my mother said to me when I was, 10, 12, 14 years old, something like that, that she knew at the moment of conception that I was going to be a unique and special individual, that I was going to go and do wonderful things, great things, this, you know, and so on and so forth. And so different from all of the other kids. And of course, I'm thinking that, you know, I was really a special individual. And it didn't actually go to my head. I was too young to really, you know, have much of an ego in that regard. But I remembered that. And then I remember having conversations with my brother and sisters, 10 or 15 or 20 years later. And she'd said the same thing to them too. That didn't make what she said to me at the age of 12 or 14 any less true or impactful. It really didn't take away. But what I realized what my mother was doing was she was wanting to set us on the path that we would seek out and find that uniqueness in ourselves to do the things that we felt led to do. And it's kind of interesting you talking about this as far as the potential and purpose and so forth. In the eighth grade, at the age of 14, I wrote this paper on, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up kind of paper. And of course it was broadcasting, and I did an interview with this local broadcaster in Arizona, in Phoenix, and I completely forgot about that paper until I got my first job in 1979 in radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I never pursued broadcasting, but it was like there was that paper. And of course I'd played with my dad's old reel-to-reels and turntables when I was a kid growing up there, but I never made the connection. Do you see that a lot of people that you come across sort of kind of done the same type of thing, that they have all of those things happening early that are telling them point blank, this is the direction you should go. And then for whatever reason, for whatever cause, they go in a totally different direction until they get into their 30s or 40s or 50s, and then they start remembering.
Well, I don't know how it is for the new generation, because I'm working now with people in their 20s, and they're having the same kinds of questions that older people have had, but at the same time, they're much more aware of their consciousness and their potential, and they're aware that the models that the world is using aren't working for them, and they want to create new ones. Whereas I think in our generation, I don't know how old you are, Richard, but in our generation, I think it was more that there was such a strong agenda for how the world worked.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking about changing the world until I was probably in my 40s. And so I'm just wondering if it has to do with a generational process. But I think what happens is that we do have inklings on a fairly regular basis from the soul. And the more we're in touch with nature and the fields of order, how the order works in nature, the tides and the movement of the seasons and the, you know, the sunrise and the sunset. And the more we're connected to the natural order, I think the easier it is for the soul to communicate with us. And then we have a sense then that we can hear our own voice guiding us. And many times we'll have that, gee, I want to do this. And then we'll have the logic or the conditioning or the habitual come in and say, no, you can't do that because you didn't do this. You know, you do this other thing before you do that thing. The soul doesn't worry about the how. The soul gives us just that creative impulse. And so I think we have to, most of us, learn to follow the creative impulse and let the how take care of itself, to move out of that linear. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the soul is a constant voice if we pay attention.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Flo Magdalena. She is the founder of and director thereof of the soulsupportsystems.org and the classes and programs that you put on. Is that pretty accurate?
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I also want to let our listeners know I'm actually very excited about this. So excited that I can't tell you what it is yet. But we have something very exciting coming in mid-late March. I am absolutely beside myself with joy about this, and I can hardly wait to share it with you, and we'll probably be sharing that with you in early or mid-March. We'll let you know all of the details about what I'm talking about. Some would say, well, he probably doesn't even know what he's talking about. Oh, yes, I do, and I'm very excited about it. It's something that that is going to, I think, it's going to make this program even better, and I'm looking forward to that opportunity. We are talking about the soul. We're talking about connecting with our soul. And I have to say, Flo, that I'm trying to understand the difference, and as we all are, the difference between our soul and that still small voice inside, that higher, some people will call it the higher self. From your perspective, what is the difference? Or is there one?
Well, I think that the higher self has a connection to the broad and very kind of elastic sense of how our essential nature and our higher calling, perhaps, where our higher awareness can join with our earthly experience to hold us in a certain frequency or vibration of choice. We choose to work from the higher self versus the five senses or the conditioning that we've been kind of challenged by and are trying to adapt to or not in our life. The higher self gives us a different vibrational frequency. That's what I think it is. It's a choice to acknowledge that we are spirit, we are divine, and that we have an overlying or an over-guiding system that is present with us all the time. The way that I'm using soul is as a doorway to our spirit or a microchip of our spirit or the individual pattern that we could read that would then help us to understand who we are and where we've been and what that's been about. It has lots of information in it as well as that potential blueprint. It has the ways in which we relate to other human beings, those people that we know and recognize right away, the fears we might be carrying from another lifetime or another space. So all these things are joined together and I think are vibrationally working in unison most of the time. And in harmony, and offer us an opportunity to see through the eyes of our heart versus just through what our logic or linear reality tells us.
How does that help us get through the day-to-day life? Because we have all of these wonderful distractions of earning money and getting through traffic and dealing with our coworkers and making it from one end of the grocery store to the other without killing somebody or seriously injuring them because they're in our way or whatever the distractions might be. How does all of this relate and what is it that we, and I'm probably going to use the wrong word here, but what is it that we is it truly that we are wanting to achieve that connection? Is that, if I can use the term goal, is that the goal?
I think the goal is freedom. Freedom from reactivity or reaction, freedom from the need to conform to something that doesn't fit for us, freedom in relationships so that we have more space in ourselves, we can be more available, mm-hmm. more present. And there's lots of ways to get that space and lots of ways to experience the freedom. And my experience has been that unless we stop and look at our lives and really question, so why am I in a place that I don't want to be? Why am I driving to work for an hour and a half or 2 hours a day when I don't want to be? Why am I doing this, that, and the other thing? A lot of times the reactions we have are based upon the frustrations of the way we're designing our life. And so as we look more into the inner, turn the inner volume up and turn the outer volume down, we begin to feel more that we're in touch with our own rhythm. And that rhythm or that balance inside of us, the pattern of our own experience, can really shape our response to everything and give us that sense of vibrational congruence with who we are. So our inner and our outer voices, our outer and inner awarenesses, for example, are the same. So when we show up, people trust us. We have more patience. Not because we're trying harder or trying to be good, but because we're more connected to the rhythm and the underlying flow of the river of life itself. So it's feeding us. It's sustaining us. We're relaxing more. We have more of an opportunity to observe that which is beautiful, for example, just to appreciate more rather than to be struggling so much. And we need tools to do that. We need to understand what it is that pushes us, what it is that galvanizes us, what it is that stops us, when we're afraid, when we constrict, what that's about. Not so much to process it as to acknowledge it and then to be with it. And there's many, many ways to be with it, many different kinds of exercises and skills and tools that we can work with. One I'm going to share with you in a minute. But I think it's the sense of having the actual experience of standing in front of someone that you would normally get angry at and realizing that if you take a deep breath and you open the space inside you and expand or extend the periphery of your awareness, in that minute everything changes. That second of change in breath can change perception, can change action, can change results. And so that ability then allows us to feel like we're guiding our ship versus being in traffic jams that we didn't create or don't want to be in. That kind of, for me, is the indication of choice. You mm-hmm. know, having choice gives us the freedom.
Exactly. Yeah. You made me think of something that I was taught in some of the self-actualization programs of the 80s and early 90s I went through, and one of them was, and I used to get people pretty angry with this because I would tell them, they'd be sharing with me where they were and what they were doing and how unhappy they were, and I said, well, but if you didn't want to be there, you wouldn't be. So obviously you want to be where you are, otherwise you'd be someplace else. And it took them a couple of minutes to understand what I was saying. The reality is true. However, it wasn't real productive. It was like, it's your own fault you're where you are because you haven't made changes to go somewhere else. And that's kind of what this program is about, is to give people those choices, to give them those different options that they maybe didn't even know existed before.
Absolutely. And the other thing, Richard, that I found, which is really fascinating, is I was just doing a session with a fellow from Ireland, and he was talking about how he wanted to get out of his job, and he really hated it, and it was very negative, and it was very money-oriented and so forth, and he wanted to leave the job, and the guidance for him was stay there because you came to change the world, so change this microcosmic space first, and then it will give you the tools, and you'll learn what it is that your gift can offer and provide, and you can keep a little journal of that, and then you can actually, when you decide to leave that particular experience, you can take with you all that you've learned, and you can leave it a better place than you found it, and not necessarily to change it, but to take your perception, to look at what your gift is, to open to that opportunity, and then to initiate that experience, express what's going on inside, and then allow yourself to actually see what the difference in the way that your presence affects the world can be in that situation. And so when, by the time he got off the phone, he was extremely excited because he recognized just what you said. If he's there, then there's an opportunity there. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he has to stay there forever, and it's not that it's not sometimes exactly what he says it is. At the same time, I really believe that we can, by changing our perception, offer a solution in each experience where we are present that will make that experience vibrationally more congruent. The energy of each of the people, for example, more related or whatever it might be. And when I work with people, what's interesting is most people have come in with a nonverbal way to actually affect the field of energy where they show up, or how, you know, how the congruent field of energy, as we talk about in physics, and that each person's individual perspective about how they were going to do that was shaped before they came to this lifetime. And if they can recognize what that is and begin to utilize that, then they can begin to change those situations.
It is a phenomenal process we're going to get into. I'm going to have you take some time to take us through an exercise that will help us to reconnect, if you will, with the soul, as we've discussed here, and seek for and find that freedom that you referred to. Before we do that, I want to let our listeners know that you are listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and my guest is Flo Magdalena. And she is not only the founder and director of the soulsupportsystems.org and the various classes, she's also the author of the book I Remember Union, which, by the way, my wife has read a number of times and has a great affinity and connection with Mary Magdalene, who is a part of what you folks are doing, what you are doing, and as far as this particular work. It is just, it's very interesting, and I wanted to just relate that there have been times when my wife, who is working in the cardiology or cardiovascular field, has felt that same way as this gentleman from Ireland, and I often tell her, though I still try to support her in a positive way in acknowledging how she's feeling about what's going on, that, well, do you understand that you're working with people in the field dealing specifically with the heart, and that is a huge responsibility, if you will, that you are, even though you may not see the results, you are impacting the lives of these people who come in there, who may be scared out of their minds, afraid, angry, all of those things, and they come to you. And she's even shared with me how some of them have just opened up to her and shared things they wouldn't have shared with anybody else. And that they may walk out of there with a totally different perspective that could have them making decisions that could change the world, and that she would have had a part in that. And I think that that's something that we don't realize as individuals in the microcosmic perspective. Oh, I only run into two or three people a day. I only talk to four or five people and this and that and the other. How could I possibly make a difference? Well, I know that in some fields, individuals come in contact with dignitaries, political figures, owners and managers of huge corporations. And this isn't about giving them advice on how to do things. This is about doing what you're talking about being that light and that energy that will impact them in such a way that may make them do the right thing rather than the expedient thing, which could make a difference to hundreds, thousands, if not millions of people the world over.
Yeah, I like to think about it as actually utilizing our energy to be a healing environment, not to learn a method of healing, but to actually create a healing environment around ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, And that doesn't really matter if you're walking down the street and you're seeing a child and you're just smiling at that child, or a baby or an old lady, or, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. It's that sense of connection that we can engender just by one look or one focused energetic connection. It just can make a tremendous difference in our lives. And we never know, you know, what we're doing, really. I mean, you know, how someone's going to take that away and perhaps affect their whole family with it, or another kind of environment. We just do it because we can,
yeah,
really.
Exactly. Now you have, yeah, and we're going to get into this exercise, and I'm not drawing this out, folks. I can feel the urgency. There are people going, you mentioned an exercise that was going to help us, and where is it? And it's coming. And I'm not dragging this out for dramatic effect. It's just that there's so many things that come up. But you have other classes and trainings and so forth. And in, say, just a couple of minutes here, can you give us a little background on what those are? And, of course, people can go to supportsystems.org, soulsupportsystems.org, and they can find out more about them. But give us a little brief description of what it is that they will find.
Well, we have workshops called Soul Recognition, which are 4 to 5 day shamanic journeys where we actually come together as a group and open to each individual's point of light and potential in ways that we used to when we did initiations, where we had witnesses in our community to support us, and we were able to let go of the mundane process of life and go deep inside and really let ourselves out of our own cage, the cage of our own making. So we have a soul recognition in different parts of the world. We're going to Bimini with the dolphins in May, and we do warm water soul recognitions in Tucson. We have one of those coming up in April. And we teach soul recognition facilitation, because I think that one of the things that's very important is to actually give guidance to those people who would like to facilitate deep energy work with others, and so we do that. We have a process called circuitry alignment, which connects us with the seed of light, which we're going to do the exercise within a moment, and our original blueprint, so that brings that energy down into all the cells of our body and all our systems and organs. And then we have channelings every couple weeks that can also be accessed by our website. We have different numbers that you can call. And we have community. We are very oriented around spiritual community. We have no belief systems, really, that anyone has to espouse. It's more that we have a path of living through the oneness principle, that we're all coming from one origin, returning to one origin, and that we are all interconnected in a field and interrelated through our consciousness, and the more that we experience that, the less separate we feel, the more we belong, and the more our contribution is easier for us to understand and utilize. So that's a synopsis.
Okay. And they can find out more, of course, by going to soulsupportsystems.org. You can also access that through Richard Dugan. That's RichardDugan.com. You can email me as well. Love to hear from you as well. I've enjoyed the emails I've gotten thus far at Richard@RichardDugan.com. And now I am going to, and I'm not sure how long this process takes, but for the next 5 minutes or so, I'm going to turn it over to you, Flo, and allow you to take us through this particular exercise. And this is an exercise, again, dealing with how to access the seed of light.
Yeah, we're going to connect in with the seed of light, and I'll explain what that is, and then we're going to have a few moments of connection in that space so that you can use this and develop it for yourself to support your connection with your soul. And I did put these steps on the website, so in case you miss part of this, you can always go onto the website and practice it. So my guidance tells me that we have an etheric point that is actually a seed of light, and that seed of light is the special contribution that we've come to make, and it's the unique vibration that we carry. Now, we can access that physically if we take our fingers along the bottom ridge of our ribs and we go to the bottom of the sternum. There's a little pointy piece of cartilage there called the xiphoid process. So what I would recommend you do is to take your fingertips. If you're holding a telephone, you probably have to use just one hand. But if you can take two hands, that's great. Just put your fingertips into that place where your ribs come together in the center of your body, that little point there. And And you're going to want to take a nice, deep in-breath. And then breathe out, and just breathe naturally, but deeply. You want to put your attention on your fingertips, because those are the access points into the seat of light, which is, in a sense, the location of your soul in the body. That's in, for this purpose, we're going to use that place, and we're going to use this process. Now, when you breathe in to the seat of light, you're actually carrying your consciousness, your thought, your awareness, and your attention inside your body. And when you breathe out, you're breathing the essence of your soul into your fingertips and then through your arms and then back into your heart and torso. So you're making a circle. Now, the reason you want to do it this way is, in the beginning, the messages from the soul can be very subtle. It's not like they're going to show up in capital letters and large blocks and, you know, tell you exactly what it is that's happening. There's subtlety to this because it's nonverbal. You may, if you're clairaudient, you may hear some things, or if you're clairvoyant, you may see some pictures or dreams or visions. But for most people, when they start, there's just a sensation. It's a sensation of calmness, of restfulness, and of deepening. That's all we really want to do right now, is just to breathe in. I'll just be quiet for a minute. Just breathe in through your fingertips into the center of your soul seed, and then breathe out into your fingers and through your hands, and just let it go back down, in a sense, the breath kind of be circular from the inner part of your soul seed into the external part of your body, and just feel that vibration for a moment. Now, you might want to start by asking a question. And you ask your questions on inhalation. So you might ask a question, why am I here? Should I do X, Y, Z? Is there peace in here for me now? Can I find what it is I'm wanting? Sometimes in a workshop we'll ask, what is it that I'm here to bring to this class or workshop or experience or marriage or relationship or whatever, and then sometimes, what am I here to receive? So you can ask the question and then basically just breathe until you get the answer. So you're not going to worry about, it takes you 3 or 4 breaths to get an essential answer. You're not going to worry about what form it's coming in or if you're doing it right. You're just going to allow the breath to be focused in this place so that in a very strong experience, you get the feeling that you're connecting. Because right now, that's what you want, is just to feel connected. So let's ask your question. Breathe in. Ask your question. And then just breathe out. And let's just breathe 3 times, nice and slowly. Now, most people in the beginning find that there is a difference in their state just by relaxing into the soul, because the soul seed is the most congruent and most active part of our original frequency. It's what, it's the chip that we brought into our infant body that is our eternal body, if you think of it that way. It allows you to actually feel it as if it's a source point for you. And it, as it sources the connection, it opens a field of energy in a clockwise direction. That clockwise direction is sometimes called Christ consciousness, and it moves out from the seed of light, right where we're having our fingertips, in a circle clockwise, going from your left hip over in front of you to your right hip and behind you and around. And as you create a connection from the soul seed, because the wave of your congruence is expanded, you then actually have the experience of creating this environment where your essential nature and what we might call your vibrational congruence is actively being fortified and strengthened in your physical field of energy. So that means that people will feel you more deeply. They'll trust you more completely, and they'll open to being in relationship with you from a different level. So this is one thing you can practice. I like to do this before I go on an interview, before I am going to write something that is important to me, before I'm going to go to sleep, before I do things that I find challenging. I utilize that soul energy to bring me to a place where I can feel whole inside. I can feel exactly like I'm ready to live from this deep part of myself and make that available in every interaction I have, and also to contribute it when a situation requests it or when it feels like that would be supportive to myself or others in an environment. So I just encourage you to practice with it, and please email us and let us know what your reactions and responses are to it.
Absolutely. And I thank you very much for that. Flo Magdalena, as she is sharing with us about soul support systems and what it has to offer to us as individuals, looking for those new paradigms, not reformed paradigms, folks, new ones. And believe it or not, there are some new ones out there that haven't been tried yet. They've been out there, but they've been so far out there that it scares people. And so they stick with the same old, and guess what we get? We get the same old. Flo, it's as if the description that was given to me once of an individual who has a videotape or DVD, in spite of all of the other additional cuts on the DVD, you watch the movie expecting a different outcome every time. And the reality is that's not possible if you're watching the same movie over and over and over again. It's going to have exactly the same outcome. So we need to change the tape, change the DVD, change whatever it is that you're that you're watching, change the channel, as was also shared to me, and you're going to get a different signal. You're going to get a different frequency, and it's going to be a different experience, and that's what we're looking for. You talked about community, spiritual community. That's one of the things that we are wanting to foster through this program, is community in the context of a verb that means that we are interdependent upon one another and with one another, that we have our respective dreams and aspirations and goals and desires, but we also recognize how connected we are to one another, how responsible we are to and for one another. Yes, I am my brother's keeper to the extent that I affect him and he affects me, and that we need to start realizing and recognizing that fact. And we thank you for coming on the program and sharing with us your perspective as to how we can do that, how we can better do that, I think is the way to put that.
Well, thank you, Richard. I do truly believe the soul is our greatest untapped resource, you know, and as we come together as community and really live from that place, that the dream in our heart can be experienced.
I have a plastic crate in storage underneath the house, and in it is a book. And in that book is a poem that I keep talking about. And I mentioned this with Greg Braden when we first went on the air in Santa Barbara back in September about the gods sitting around deciding where are we going to hide the truth as far as we are concerned from man. And, of course, they began to theorize, well, we'll put it in the mountaintops. No, we'll climb the mountains. We'll put it in the deepest ocean. No, he'll find a way to get down there. We'll put it up out on the planets. No, he'll find a way to get out there. And, I mean, they went through 5 or 10 different scenarios until finally they realized, I know where we'll put it. We'll put it in his heart. He'll never look there. And I think that that's really true. I think that one of the things that we need to try to get over is the terminology. And I think that we'll get to that point where we'll be speaking the same language, if you will. And I thank you for sharing your language with us and what you have to offer at soulsupportsystems.org. And I'd ask you to stay on the line before we disconnect here, if you would, Flo. And I want to let our listeners know that you can go to soulsupportsystems.org or to richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. You can hear this interview. It'll probably be available about 10 or 15 minutes after the program's over. And you'll be able to listen to the program again, share it with others, take that section with the exercise and do it and bring that about for yourself. And we encourage you to do that. Next week, we're going to be talking about the new evolution with Jack Reed, local author here in Santa Barbara. We're going to be talking about community and what he's wanting to foster, not just here, but around the country, around the world. And we ask you to join us as we talk about the new evolution, as we've shared here on this program as well with Flo Magdalena, our guest today. Jack Reed is our guest next Saturday. Hope that you will join us then, and I hope that you will give us a shout, as they say, via email, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And as always, this program is designed to bring you new paradigms for a new world, and that is your world and my world, and we encourage you to make yourselves a part of that. Until next Saturday at the same time, best to you, love to love. Have a great day.